Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's recording.
Yeah.
We're here testing. Hi.
We don't need a test. It's been tested. We can start the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Suggestible in the City, episode 7.
7 minutes in heaven, which is what we're doing now in this weird little room that we're in on our holiday.
What are you implying by that? Do you know what 7 minutes in heaven is?
Yeah, it's where you get locked in a cupboard for 7 minutes with a boy after you've done spin the bottle. And then they think, are you going to kiss? Are you not?
Have you ever done 7 minutes in heaven?
No, of course not. I've never even played spin the bottle.
You've never played spin the bottle?
No, I'm too nerdy. I was never invited.
You
don't it's the same thing as I've never been skinny dipping either.
Look, the thing about seven, I've never done 7 minutes in heaven, but the thing about spinning the bottle, Ooh. You just got to get a group of people who are equally ugly and then you can do it.
Been going wrong.
That's where you've been going wrong.
I haven't been able to find people on my level.
That's right. Anyways, welcome to Suggestible in the City, which is a spin-off of our other podcast, Suggestible, where we recommend things. But here we go through every episode of And Just Like That. Claire Tonti is your host. She's over
Howdy.
There.
Howdy. Hello. And I often do, which I haven't done yet, but I will do now, the theme song. Bing, bong, bido, bing, bong, bing, bada, bada, bada.
Okay, I'm done.
And then
so
who
forth.
Are you over there?
I'm James Clement. We're a day late because we are on holiday, technically, and I couldn't get the equipment working yesterday. But don't worry about it because obviously you're hearing this now and Collings has edited it. Let's get into this, Claire, starting with the time jump. Well, I should say a montage of
Ooh,
time
all
passing.
Right. Okay. So you know how I love a song. You know how I love a montage. This is classic Sex and the City episode beginning. We see Kerry in her window, in her brownstone, with the changing leaves and all the things. And then we know that a lot of time has passed.
I can tell the time was passing by the visual representation of it. I thought they did a very good job of showing that, don't you think?
Are you being sarcastic? Because I bloody loved it. The reason I loved it, and I know it's corny and really whatever, is because the song Spring Is Here, sung by the wonderful Carly Simon,
okay,
is just glorious. And I just, all the different outfits of Kerry, and she's like blowing gum and she's like clearly writing something.
She's not smoking cigarettes though.
No, she's not.
There was a time when she'd be just puffing on a dart, mate.
She would. She would be.
I've also written here, because we both make notes, we both are equally invested in the show and just like that, that it looks like she's doing what she loves. You know what I mean? Or maybe not even. Well, she does love it, but something she falls back on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's processing something here.
Exactly.
And you see a range of emotions pass across her face.
But you know what you don't see?
What?
You don't see the grey in her hair. So she's still getting touch-ups the entire time. I think she only left her apartment.
Correct.
To get those blonde highlights put back
in. Yeah, exactly. When are you thinking about getting blonde highlights, mate?
I'll get them as soon as I can. As soon as you'll let me out of this cupboard. She's writing a book on grief. And then you recently wrote, specifically grief, but
well,
it's
called Loved and Lost. I think I wrote that note down.
Yeah.
Yes. And we find out, like, she meets with her editor. We've sort of jumped in time and she's wearing the most incredible suit.
I don't remember.
I think it's from Valentino.
Which one of them is wearing
the one? She's wearing a purple like jacket with big shoulder pads and a red tie underneath. I think it's like a grey vest with a white shirt. When she goes to meet her editor, who is like very invested in this book and has like tear stains on it and all of the things, it's called Loved and Lost. And it's all about how how she, you know, found the love of her life and then lost the love of her life. And they basically say to her, well, not they, she says to her, this is great, except that everyone's going to want to jump out of the window
so
with their Haagen-Dazs. Sponsorship.
I didn't even notice, but you're right. Sponsor of the week. Shout out to our peeps over at Haagen-Dazs.
Exactly. Everyone's reading Sex and the City and eating Haagen-Dazs.
It's the ice cream that you eat when you want to kill yourself.
Which is, gosh, there's been some weird things with death and branding in this, hasn't there?
You're not wrong. You're not Peloton, bloody wrong.
Peloton, all the things.
So she has to liven it up, and the series has obviously been building towards this. She's getting back on the dating scene, mm-hmm. and she's initially reluctant. And something that we actually talked about after watching this, what I loved about it is she feels like a really real character, because even though she's quite sharp and witty and can be quite mean, when she suggested this, she's just like, fine, you know, she's just, which feels like a more reasonable reaction, because I know with me, when you're asked to do a thing that you don't really want to do, but you're like, there's no real way around this, they're not going to publish it otherwise or whatever, fine, I'll just do it. And that to me, I think, is also very like that character. Do you know what I mean? I think with a lot of characters, the example I used with you was like House would be like, I'm not doing that, I'll make my own rules or whatever. And it feels more like a realistic person, you know, just to be like, whatever. All right, fine, I'll do it.
I totally agree with you. One of the things I find so hilarious is because that is literally your reaction to almost everything. Yeah. Fine. Do you want to go to the beach? Fine, I'll do it. There's no way I can get out of this.
Stand in the ocean with my shoes on.
Exactly. And if anyone who is listening to this ever wanted James to do any kind of live thing ever, that is his reaction, except it's not so much, oh, fine, whatever. It's F no. Definitely not. I don't want to do that.
And then eventually it's like, well, you'll get money. And I'm like, oh, fine. Yeah,
correct. Exactly.
I'll do it for money.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I think it's a really good reason. They had to, A, show time had passed and do it quite quickly. And listening to the Michael Patrick King podcast episode was great, because obviously there's a lot of TV devices they use to spare the audience any of the boring, mundane stuff.
Yeah, right.
They don't like to show the life admin. They want it to be this kind of beautiful world where none of that life admin exists. And I've only just recently reflected that actually in Sex and the City, one of the genius things is that they very rarely show the amount of effort that's gone in to get dressed.
That's
like occasionally
true,
they'll show, you know, someone in a towel or putting on the last touch of makeup.
No, you're right.
But they always look so beautifully put together, and they always effortlessly find things.
Or shattered.
Like, yeah,
I think it's like one or the other.
Exactly, but stylistically shattered.
Yeah.
In this way that's so beautiful. And I think that's why, one of the many reasons why this show still holds up and is so wonderful, is that they create this world for you where you can imagine that your life could be a lot less admin, basically.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Oh, the dream.
Exactly. But admin. They had to find a reason anyway for Carrie to start dating, right? Because everyone's wondering when that's going to happen. And I think by just doing that time passing thing with the beautiful song and the autumn leaves, and then also making it so that even Oprah has asked her to at this point.
Yeah, I think that was also like that was the tipping point for her. Because she's just like, oh, actually that's like, you know, because she's – I was going to say vain. It's not vanity. It's like she sees an opportunity. So, again, she's like, I'll do it because of the book club thing. Obviously, that's a great opportunity and I don't want to go on a date. But regardless,
no, but I'll add a little epilogue with some hope and go on a date.
Yeah.
And so, oh boy, what a date.
So we'll talk about the date and then we'll talk about how Steve clearly has dementia.
Oh, I know. So should we talk? Should we do the date?
Yeah. We're doing storylines here. So, she's very clear, like, no sex. Well, that's her idea going in, which she sticks to. Just a regular guy.
Yeah.
What do you think about that guy?
Okay. So I want to skip back a little bit. I do this to you. My brain just jumps around everywhere. You're very methodical.
No, this is good.
So what's interesting here is before we get to Carrie's date, how it eventuates is that after her editor tells her to, she goes out for cocktails at night, the first time we ever see that in the series.
Oh, right, because they're normally meeting for a brunch.
Yeah, like lunch or brunch or something. And Seema, the character of Seema, who is Carrie's real estate agent, is at the table.
I've written that here. They're trying new members.
Yeah,
They're doing it every week. They're cycling through new people in that group.
Though I think that the one with Seema with the cocktails, I think she played it so well.
Yeah, that was a good pairing. Quad.
It was quadrant. Because I think Seema's character has big dick energy.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You know,
so does Anthony.
No, I don't know so much. And but Anthony also like makes a joke and makes it obvious, oh gosh, this is the first time I've been invited to the table.
I guess he's also like it sounds harsh to say, but he's not really a real person.
You know yeah, I mean? Yeah. And he's so great though. But yeah. Whereas,
oh yeah, he's wonderful. Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Seema on that table I thought was great because they didn't bother doing that. They didn't bother saying, like pointing it out. Everyone knows she's, you know, taking Samantha's seat. But also Seema seemed to belong in that bar. She's sort of sitting there in this like gorgeous cat-like way and it's just – yeah, she's great. And then also we know she's super efficient. So it was a great writing device for them to say, okay. Yeah,
another time jump. Yeah. You're going to have to do like setting up the profile and blah, blah, blah.
Admin, man.
This admin.
No life admin. You just, like any of my single friends who I could ever imagine, one of the things I hate the most is having to actually set up the profile and learn how to use the app and all of the things and figure out which app to be on. Whereas if someone has done it for you, you don't have to do that excruciating sell yourself thing. And Seema would have done it bloody awesomely because she's a real estate agent, so she's like, you know, schmicking up apartments, so she schmicked up Kerry.
Here's a hint for guys as well. As someone who has also never used a dating app because it was before my time, but what you know what I mean? I was before that or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm a dinosaur. If you're a guy and you want what you want to do, don't make your first photo in there. You're sitting in your car and you're wearing sunglasses. All right? You don't have to do that. You want a photo maybe of just you and then it looks normal. You know, you want a photo with some mates, maybe put in some other people in there who are not just all like dudes who look like you. You know what I mean? Bit of diversity to show that you're not a serial killer. You know what I mean?
Correct. You know what is weird? I've noticed.
Sitting with a dog doesn't have to be yours. Maybe you're on a boat with your fishing with your mates or whatever. Correct.
You know what I do think is weird? When there's a photo of them holding up a giant fish.
That's all I was going to say.
I hate that photo. I feel like it may as well just be like, this is how big my penis is. I hate that. I also,
you don't consider that big fish energy?
No. And also, the other thing I hate is when they take a photo with a random child.
Oh, I my love
friend,
that. Yeah.
One of my friends who's single sends me photos of her, the worst dating profile she's had to come across.
And it's always like a nephew or a friend's kid or whatever.
Correct.
Because they think they're being clever. Like, I understand, like, why you would do that because you think, like, you're tricking somebody.
They're like, I know what women like. Children. Here's me with my friend's daughter who's three who I'd never hang out with, but here she is.
Yeah, exactly. Weird. Oh, I love that. It's my favorite thing in the world. But I think me and Mason talked about this, like, dating apps. Mason, who I co-host my very successful podcast,
We all know you're a big shot.
We think the reason they put, like, the fishing photo and the photo that you just take yourself in the car while you're wearing your Oakley sunglasses is you don't want to come across too vain where it's like, oh, no, I don't even care. I don't want to put too much effort in. But guess what? Put some fucking effort into it because nobody wants somebody who doesn't apparently give a shit about how they look or how they present.
Or the angle. It's or the angle, yeah. Don't look down at your phone and take a photo. That's like basic phone etiquette 101. I also think you're absolutely right. Put some effort
in. And if you're a woman as well, make it clear who you are in the photo because often I've heard that, like, they're always in group photos and you're like, which one is it?
I will say that phenomenon of the car photo with the sunglasses with no smiling is, like, a thing I see a lot.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, and it's so weird. It's weird. And if I ever get a tweet or a comment from someone with a photo like that, I never reply because it's weird. It's weird. Show us your face. Show us some teeth. What are you doing? Anyway, moving along. So Seema set.
I think it's there in their cards. They're like, nobody will see me. I'll take because imagine if you took a photo in your house, embarrassing.
I know. Oh, anyway, God. Sorry. Go on. Anyway, maybe they live with their parents, so that's stressful.
Yeah, but they don't have to be in it. Or they could. That's fun.
Just sit in front of, sit on a park bench and take a photo.
Exactly. Sit with somebody else's dog. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. Oh God.
Sorry.
Anyway, so Seema sets it all up for Kerry, and then they kind of do that fun thing where they look, and it's just all like normal, lovely looking, handsome men who are interested in her, and that's cool. And I think that's cool as well. And they decided to go with someone who's actually quite nice, who's also a widower.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great choice.
That's also like not uncommon in the real world, is it? Because I think it's like, this is an experience I obviously do not have, but finding someone you can relate to, you know, how you can, you know, you have a common, it sounds terrible, you know, you can share
something
like
in common.
Like,
yeah, completely. Moment. And I think also it's quite realistic, depressingly, for that time in your life, in your 50s and 60s, for people to be divorced but also to have lost partners.
Yeah.
It's more common. As we've discussed, this show is all about how people keep dropping off the perch.
Fuck yeah, I love it.
Do you? Yeah. Anyway. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So
What do you think about this guy? What's his name again? John Peter. I think his name's Peter.
Yeah.
Do you think he's anything? Because I feel like he's not like – like he's nice and he's fine and they share a big vomit together, which was very funny.
Oh, my gosh. I have such a good factoid for you.
Here we go.
About the vomit.
Okay.
Okay, so they had to film it in an alleyway, right?
Sure.
Because they was all these paparazzi all the time snapping photos and they didn't – it was a big reveal. So it was important for the comic timing that it was like a devastatingly sad, poignant moment when they're both saying that they lost loved ones and they sit down at the restaurant. And then they wanted this over-the-top, ridiculous, hammed-up vomit scene.
Yeah.
And so they find this alleyway restaurant and then they get two stunt guys to organize the vomit and they get pipes up their outfits.
Yeah, then they're like, on the side of their
mouth. On the side of their mouth, right? And they do it all. But Carrie's got this incredible dress on, Sarah Jessica Parker, and they can't get the tubing up the dress without being able to see it on camera. Yeah. But so she's such a professional. I cannot believe she's – and it makes me gag just even thinking about it. She said, take all the tubing off. I'm just going to swallow it. I'm just going to drink it and then I'm going to vomit. And they're like – what?
Did she actually vomit it or was it just in her mouth?
Well, it's partly in her mouth but partly vomited because she actually swigged like two bursts of the stuff.
Like fake vomit.
Yeah, because if you watch the scene,
it looks like she actually vomits.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah.
So she vomits and then it comes out again.
Yeah.
And they were like, I don't know. Michael Patrick King was like, I think it was her ballet training. I think it was
That's really interesting because I have a common complaint, and Auntie Donna have talked about this as well, but I'll share this now on their Twitter, that often with vomiting, it's like side on and it's comically like shooting out or it's somebody running to the sink with clearly a mouthful of vomit and going, pur, and that's it. But when I noticed this vomit, I was like, that looks very
real, which is horrifying.
No, I love it. I love that commitment to it.
Yeah,
awesome.
I mean, she bends fully forward. Yeah, she folds herself in half, which is what you do right when you vomit. And it is, it's really gross and spectacular. Like, it's not just a bit of vomit.
It's like a proper vomit.
Like vomiting everywhere. And so I just thought that was really interesting that she could do that. I mean, she's such a good actor.
She is.
Man, she's such a good actor. Like, even in the scene and the, like, so much of the dialogue isn't written. Like, there's not a lot of dialogue for Carrie, but she conveys so much just in her face.
I agree that Sarah Jessica Parker is a good actor.
Thank you. I know. What a revolutionary thing to say. Anywho.
What do you think of this guy, though? He's nothing, right?
Oh, God. Look,
I don't mean that in, like, a bad way. I mean, like, he's not going to turn out to be anybody significant in this show. He's got, like, no – you know when you saw, like, Big or Aiden?
He's not got any Big Dick energy.
Exactly. Or, like, you know, he seems nice enough, but, like, he doesn't have that feel of somebody who's going to, like, stick around. But then again, maybe that is what they're going for. You know what I mean?
He seems very gentle. And safe or something, and in a like nice but not particularly overly.
I think
handsome.
He's like training wheels for her, basically.
That's what I think. Yeah. So I think they've given her someone who's
I feel bad
nice
talking
and gentle
to you about this guy who's quite obviously not real.
No, exactly. But he does seem quite gentle and like a normal person.
Yeah.
And the writers did that deliberately. They gave her someone who was normal. They were going to initially do a really hammed up kind of date.
I think this was good. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, but interesting then the whole scene culminates at the end in the auction, which we'll get to, and he reappears and they are going on a second date. So who knows?
I think they'll probably just peter out.
I think so too.
If that is his name.
I think they'll end up being like the classic let's be friends or something.
Probably. And then he disappears forever or he takes the fourth spot at the table. Claire, do you want to talk about the auction before we talk about how Steve has dementia?
No, certainly. I feel like we want to need to talk about Steve first.
Okay, listen.
Oh my, I've written here
Steve has dementia because like he's got dementia, right? He's like a completely different person. They meet at the market, or they're supposed to meet at the market, Steve and Miranda.
Yeah, in Brooklyn, like farmer's market.
He rings and he's like, I'm lost. I'm at the different vegetable stall or whatever. And then when he rolls up, he's like, I left my wallet at the pickle guy or whatever.
And because Miranda was trying to explain to him where to go and he comes out and he was like, you were yelling at me and I didn't know where I was. And what's all
like her dad who'd been hit in the head. Like, what is going on there?
I don't understand.
Is this to soften the blow of when we break his 130-year-old heart?
But what's annoying to me about it is I actually feel like it would be more interesting if he was just regular Steve.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they could because they're acting like that because later on there's a sex scene between – well, they try and do and there's clearly no chemistry there left. Yeah. But they had so much chemistry all the way through. Yeah. Like even, I mean, I know in the movie or whatever.
I guess, I see what you're saying, because like the point is that like there's no like, there's no lust there, there's no spark. But that doesn't mean, like you could still make him like a person.
That's what I mean. You could still, it's more interesting if he, as would really be the case, he's just his regular Steve.
Yeah.
But Miranda finds him annoying now.
I find him annoying. What happened to him?
Because he just seems so hot. Like he's like an elderly man.
Yeah.
It's really odd. I know. It's super odd. Because like in all the other, in the scenes in, like he's known for being quite calm and quite rational and also kind.
Yeah.
And in this you don't see him be kind.
No, he's kind of mean. Yes, I guess because he's like
a caricature.
He has dementia.
Yeah.
Because he definitely has dementia. Yeah. I mean, imagine if they went, Steve has dementia. Imagine if they actually said that she's like, and I'm leaving him. I'd be like, wow, that's pretty bold,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, well, because his mum had dementia.
Yeah, and I'd also, well, that's true.
Yeah.
Maybe that is where they're going. And I guess that would also change the dynamic a lot.
Mm.
If like, what a decision to make to leave him. Like, and like knowing that, you know, you don't love him anymore, but you're guilted, you know, into staying with him. Maybe that is what they're doing.
It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Listening to the writers talk, I feel like they're unaware of the fact that they've done this to Steve, because one of the writers actually says, Steve's my boy.
What?
She actually says that.
They're listening to us.
I know. That's what I think. I'm like, well, he's taking island lines. But I feel like they're unaware that they've turned him into a caricature. Yeah.
They're also definitely not listening to us.
Oh, just cool.
Just in case people are like, do you think people will listen to this? No, we don't.
No, we're doing this purely for ourselves.
This is for us.
But if you're here for the ride, we think you're awesome.
Oh, we absolutely
Thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much. So what I find really interesting too about this scene is that Dr. Nia Wallace and her husband Andre Richard are there.
Might be the best scene in this. They have the best scene in the show.
They do. But before that, one of the things they did really well is like show them as this couple that bump into Miranda, and they're just like dressed in these like incredible costumes.
They're looking cool and they're getting along.
So cool and sleek, and they've got all this chemistry, and they have a really hot kiss, and then and he's all like young and fun and she's all cool, and then he wanders off, and then she talks about and tells Miranda about the fact that she's just got her period and she hasn't been able to tell him that they've stopped IVF, but they thought maybe she was pregnant. And so they're doing this kind of real contrasting thing between this couple who's clearly so hot for each other and vibrant.
Yep.
And then Miranda looks really cool as well. She's got like
she's
a
looking
great
cooler every
outfit.
Week. Her hair's looking good.
Yeah.
First couple episodes, very flat hair. I don't know if you noticed.
I did. And also kind of her outfits were very dated lots of ways. Whereas in these, she's just looking fresher and cooler. Her hair's all curly.
Yeah.
And then Steve comes up and he's like, I don't know. Anyway, so there's that. But you're absolutely right. Then I know. Our boy Steve, I don't know what they've done to him.
You know what? He's got to go. They're going to get. So then we have, you mentioned it, but they're not having sex. We find that out.
No.
Well, we knew that, I think, anyway.
Yeah,
things are not good when she's like, she tries to instigate a sexual encounter in the kitchen.
Well, she basically tries to relive her moment
which was
with Shay Diaz.
Sad
in the
to
kitchen,
witness.
Which was
and
awful.
Also, like, what an impossible standard for our boy Steve to keep. He doesn't know. He's lost. Like, he's confused. He's like washing his hands, which is a good thing. You should wash your hands. I think that's important. You know what
but
I mean?
That kills the moment automatically.
Yeah, I know. It totally does.
I just have to wash my hands. Have you got any antibacterial soap?
Maybe keep consistently clean hands just in case all the time. You know what I mean? I think that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't want weird infections.
If you're in the throes of passion, I think that clean hands are not the priority.
No, I know. But if she's like, again, I hate this expression, finger me, and he's like, oh, I don't know. He's probably had his whole hand in his mouth or something earlier.
Also pandemic.
Pandemic.
True.
And pandemic. I maybe you could get the coronavirus.
And guess like as a married couple, you would think that you'd be able to do that, right? Like I'll just wash my hands and it's fine. And
yeah, but she's
know.
Clearly like aiming for something else and he's not.
He's not there.
And he's also like, I'm out of practice. And it's like, dude.
I had a real problem with that line because he's what, like in his 50s now?
Yeah.
He's been doing it a long time. He was always really good at sex in the previous show. He just always was. That was never their problem.
Mm.
He was always really good at it. I mean, she might not have been up for it during the movie when she was working on the stuff, but they always had a great sex life and he was always amazing at it. So that annoys me because I think I'm out of practice. I don't know. Can you lose? I feel it's like riding a bike.
I mean, I guess if it's like 10 years, then I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. Maybe it's all the small bowls of ice cream that's like probably made his hands all cold.
And yeah, it's made of cold hands.
Correct,
you gotta warm
exactly.
Them up.
Or he's losing his feeling in his extremities or something because he's aging. I don't know. Anyway, I felt annoyed by that. I feel like
he also feels smaller. Like when he came up at the market, he like hobbled up like he was like a child in old man makeup. You know what I mean? He seems I know he's not big, but like he just seems small and weird.
And like a gremlin.
Like a gremlin.
He could like hobbled along out of a hole or something.
Exactly.
Like Rumpelstiltskin. Like he's like
Rumpelstiltskin. I lost my wallet.
It's like Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is actually something that annoys me because in previous shows, you see him when he meets new people. He's always really nice.
He's also got abs.
He's got abs. Exactly. And she's always like, ooh, hello.
I bet his real life still got abs though.
Yeah, I know. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? He's very old. I wonder how old that actor actually is.
I think he's like 55. I'll look it up.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so then they have this awkward sex scene that just is so depressing and Miranda just lets it go. And there's not a lot of dialogue, which I thought was interesting. The actors just kind of, you know, feel their way through it, literally.
David Eichenberg is 57 years old.
Oh, there you go. He's not that old.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, weird. Maybe it's the way he's playing it, but they've got their directing. They're all there. I don't know. He's the one character that I think they haven't been able to get.
There's David Eichenberg. Look at him these days. He's got abs. He's still got abs, Claire.
Yeah, so this is our boy Steve.
It's a low body fat percentage.
Oh, man. Anyway, I also still
look at him. This is what he looks like. He looks terrific.
He looks terrific.
You see him in real life. God damn.
Okay, so here's the thing. I also feel like they have really put scenes with him light on the ground. Even in this episode, which is ostensibly a big episode for him.
Why are they doing that?
He is not in it very much.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I guess it's the obvious reason, right, that they want you to not be attached to him anymore
but
so that they
again,
can dump
like,
him.
Again, wouldn't it be – we probably talked about Steve too much.
We have.
But
we're
don't you think
Steve.
It would be more interesting if you, like you said, like were attached to him? It would be more of a tragedy and
– and you see him parenting with Brady and you see him as a really good
guy.
He's always been a good guy.
I like to see him like know what's happening in the room that he's in. You know what I mean?
Just be aware of
Just be aware of your surroundings.
You're right. Maybe we're giving them too much credit, but maybe they are building to a dementia storyline. Because it does feel like that. Like he's losing his hearing and he doesn't know where he is in the market. Yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I don't know. I just can't understand. Like in this, there's another storyline happening with Charlotte. They always have four threads.
Yeah.
And Charlotte's storyline with Harry, they have this argument. And for the first time you see Charlotte swear on the street and it's all around tennis and her being this like badass tennis player.
It's
they play Eye
player.
Of the Tiger and her.
You were loving that scene. I looked over, you're cackling to yourself.
I don't know why I loved it so much. You know why I loved it so much? Because I am quietly a very competitive person.
Quietly, yeah. Wait, would they play Eye of the Tiger when they played the old women or when they played each other?
No, when they played the old women.
Yeah,
that
seemed
unfair
when they'll play those.
I know.
I guess that was also the point because they're like, these two are vicious. And you look up and they're like 75 years old or whatever.
But I loved the outfits. I loved the expressions. I loved the idea of these two women who are always being nicey-nice to everybody, just being ruthless on the tennis court. And Charlotte just being totally ruthless. And that comes out of one of the writers' real lives. So she came to tennis late and he's like, just so intense on the court.
Yeah.
And I love that whole storyline. But there is so much of Harry and Charlotte in this episode.
Yeah.
Way, and Harry has way more lines and is a way more fleshed out character than Steve.
That's true.
Which is weird because actually Steve was a bigger character than Harry. Harry only came in the last couple of seasons of Sex and the City.
I guess, yeah, because then they...
Yeah, because they had the whole like Trey
thing.
And
the movie was... The adoption, the first one?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Harry's been obviously there and he was Charlotte's big storyline in the end, but he comes in as the divorce lawyer for Trey.
That's
and
right,
And so
yeah.
for the bulk of the series, he wasn't even in it, whereas Steve was there from like very early
Pretty early on. Interesting.
Anyway, I just find that interesting that they're giving Harry so much airtime.
Yeah.
But also I love those scenes as well.
So that scene, so it was interesting because so she knocks him over playing tennis.
Because they then play the couple. So Lisa told Wexley and her husband play Charlotte and Harry.
So and then he's like, you should apologize for knocking me over. And she's like, I'm not going to apologize. This is the only place where I don't apologize. And it's interesting because I was in two minds about it because like I think it's one of those things where in passing you just go, help him up and go, hey, sorry, you're all right. But then, like, it got to the – and then she not doing that, it dragged out. And then I was like, you should probably apologize for knocking someone over, even in passing. Like, it's not a big deal. But I thought that was really interesting that she was like, I spend my whole life apologizing. Women spend their whole life apologizing. I'm not apologizing for this. And I was like, yeah, good point. All right, fair enough.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, I don't know whether – I mean, because it was supposed to just be a fun social game.
Yeah.
But I agree with her on the apologizing thing.
Totally.
And I thought, regardless of whether she's right or wrong, I don't think that's the point. I think it's just an interesting example of her as a character.
Yeah, because she probably should have said sorry.
As a character flaw. Yeah, but then they do make a point, and Harry makes a point of saying to her, he's mansplaining to her about the tennis, and she's really good at tennis.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, make sure you stand here, and here they call this divorce alley.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he just thinks he's being, you know, nice, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is really irritating, and it has happened to me a lot. Men do this often.
You get explained the business of podcasting.
So
or by often. People who don't know what the fuck they're talking. And you know what's interesting? Because nobody ever explains anything to me about it.
Oh my
God. They just assume that I know what I'm doing, and which, you know, I do to an extent. But so do you. We have like equal podcasting knowledge, you know.
Oh, different. I would say if it's on Star Wars or Spider-Man.
No. I'm talking just in general.
Yeah, general. Yes. And how to do it
and marketing.
And in a lot of ways.
And we're not perfect, but we've got pretty decent ideas all around, yeah.
And in a lot of ways, I have more knowledge than you about the things that
the
they're giving me
the selling
advice
and
on.
Totally. I completely agree.
It's all about advertising the industry. At that point, I was going to a lot of like conferences. I do a lot of reading about podcasting and where things are at. And so It just never ceases to amaze me how often. Also about the business side of the stuff, because what we do, we run a company together.
Yeah,
and you make a lot of the creative content, though I'm doing more now. But a lot of it, for most of the time, my main job was building out the monetization of our company,
yes.
right? And so I would figure out all this stuff that no one else in Australia was doing at that time. There was no one to help me. It was the Wild West, so I was just learning as much as I could. And then I would have these conversations with guys out of the blue who were working in a bank as an executive or superannuation advice or some bullshit. I don't know what they were doing. And they would give me all this advice on how to structure the company and like what I should be doing. And or another guy who'd never run a startup in his life gave me all this advice about how to run a startup when I was running a successful startup. And he just like mansplained to me about the whole bloody thing. Happens just so often. I cannot count. And often what annoys me about it too is that I will listen and I will take it on board and I will nod, because I also am of the mindset that I've never been trained in any of this and maybe I'll learn something.
I always listen.
And
that's true. And like, you, not to say that you can't.
No, I always listen, but it's only when you've pointed it out to me as well that I've realized how often it happens to me.
Or you'll be like, hey, so-and-so said this. And I'm like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Your go-to is always, fuck that guy. And maybe that's the thing. Maybe they know that I'll be a receptive audience. And to be fair, sometimes I learn stuff.
Totally.
And that's great. And maybe sometimes you miss
definitely.
Learning.
Yeah, because my automatic response is like,
fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Always. So, you know, Elizabeth Day from the How to Fail podcast interviewed Brené Brown, and she said something really interesting about success versus mastery and how, I know this is off topic, but I just thought it was very relevant to our conversation just then. And she said that if people focus on success outcomes, they're never going to get very far.
Mm.
But if you focus on mastery, which means that you're putting your energy into learning as much as you can rather than trying to beat everybody else.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You then are more likely to actually find success in the end. And even if you don't, you are focusing on the craft.
Yeah.
And so you are always going to be improving and getting better. Because success, if you just focus on that as an end goal, what does that even look like? Mm. It can turn you into someone who is very jealous and competitive.
And you always, this is obvious, but you always learn something. Like I started and shut down like multiple things. This is way off topic, like, but it feels like a different podcast. We'll be back to in a second to to Shay's the sex scene and all that. We'll be doing that. But it's all for me. I'm like, you got to get your skills up, like whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Not that
I edit that much anymore, but like you do so much of it, and you get faster and better as an example, you know. And again, like we shut down like several things that we started because we're like, this isn't really working anymore, or we don't want to do this anymore. But like, and our goal, I guess, has never been to be the most successful, because I think also for us and the size we are, it's just completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
We can't be. And that's,
I don't think that's actually true. I think it's not that we couldn't be, it's that in order to do it, we would have to have a life that we don't enjoy.
I think it's both. I think we couldn't do it and we wouldn't. And if we did, we wouldn't enjoy it.
Well, I just think there was a point we planned. Anyway, we're on a totally different topic now. And I'll just quickly say this.
Yeah.
There was a point we planned at Broadcasting where we could have hired a sales team and we could have turned it into something very different.
Yeah.
And who knows what we'll do in the future.
And then we're like, fuck that guy.
Well, it was more just that I realized that's not what I want to spend my life doing.
No.
And maybe in the future I'll look back and think, oh, we could have made
XYZ. Yeah, we probably would have made a lot more money.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that was, I don't know, for whatever reason, but I didn't want to do that. No. And I didn't want to spend my life doing that. And I also wanted to see my kids more. And we've always kind of kept us and our kids as a priority first before any of those other things. And also, you just want to do stuff that makes you curious and excited.
And I didn't want to turn around and be like, oh man, I'm in charge of like 40 people. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So I didn't want to. I used to do that when I was a teacher with like children, and it's not dissimilar.
No, anyway, it is interesting though. So that's,
I'm not saying the people that work for us are children. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying if you had a big sales team, then that's probably what it would end up being like.
So what I am saying to finish up, what am I saying? Is that, I don't know, but I feel like our boy Steve
Steve.
Leaf out of Brené Brown's book and focus on mastery of fingering.
get your skills up, Steve.
Get your skills up. You've let it slide for a bit, Steve. Don't focus on the success of the end goal. You've got to get mastery.
I think his instinct to wash his hands was not incorrect. But I think, again, like you said, you kind of got to read the room.
Okay, I'm going to say it was totally wrong.
All right.
It was wrong.
It's noted. I will no longer be trimming my fingernails or washing my hands.
I just cannot think of anything less sexy than you asking someone to touch you and they say, I'll just wash my hands. I don't know. I don't know why, because you're right. From a clinical,
you know what you could do?
Perspective,
you could maneuver them to the sink, reach around them and watch them do it like that. Sneaky. That's how I'd do it. Subtle. Anyways, there's a big auction. They're doing a school auction. Charlotte and her husband have been outed as two people who have arguments.
Correct.
I saw that and I'm like, yeah, like we obviously argue, you know, probably I was going to give a number
heaps,
on it.
A lot. All the time. Every
we
day.
We never stop. We argue immediately when we turn the show off. But but that is like a thing of like you don't want somebody to see you arguing.
No, and they do say that line, don't they? Oh, now we're that couple.
Yeah. Because also like you do, like when I see someone else arguing, there is that, like there is a bit of judgment there, even though like it's very common. Like it's not unusual, you know what I mean?
No, exactly. But it would be really awful to see your close friends in a full-blown argument that really is usually behind closed doors, because I think people are so vulnerable in that state, and
totally,
they're maybe being the worst versions of both of themselves as well.
Yeah,
which you very rarely see. I guess everyone has that veneer on.
Actually, I think also for me, if I know the person, it's probably more than anything else. It's like more humanizing. Like I'm not like, how embarrassing. It's more like, they're real people. So
I agree, and it's a relief too, right? Yeah. To know that everyone argues, right? I totally agree with that as well, and I think that what's interesting about the Harry and Charlotte argument is that Charlotte is showing growth in her character in this episode.
Yeah.
In that she's really swearing at him and putting her foot down, and she's usually such a people pleaser and so polite and just sort of standing up for herself. And I just really liked her in that episode. I thought that was great.
She's definitely evolved. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It seemed like she was looking for some. Well, this has been a character evolution, but she was looking for a certain person and wanted to be a certain type of way and a certain wife and a certain mother. And all of those things have been challenged, or not even, or she's like she wants to move beyond. That. She's like a fully realized like 3D person, which is cool.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I totally agree.
Anyway, the auction.
Yes, the auction.
So she had the idea that one of the auction items was to auction Carrie off.
So it's a school auction, for raise charity money and whatever, for the kids, yeah.
That Carrie would be offered up as a date. And I love where Carrie's like, I don't want to do this. And then they're like, sex writer Carrie Bradshaw. And she's like, I'm not a sex writer. I'm like
relationships columnist.
Yeah, and I love that then Charlotte then, like, on behalf of Carrie, like, explains
who she
to
is
the room. She's like, actually, she's a relationship advice person, and it's not a date. It's a lunch.
It's a lunch.
She's just like, this is worse.
And then nobody bids. Which is so glorious and awful and funny.
And she's just like standing there. She got her head down, and she's like, okay.
And then Charlotte makes it even worse by bidding like $700 or something.
Oh, I love that because they call her up. Who's like, come up and whatever. And she's just like, our friendship is over. And
that's the best line. The way she said just drops it and walks. It's so funny. And then the fact she then has to bid on herself. And then she does that funny move with the put the gavel down and like shakes it. And it's just so Sarah Jessica Parker. Great. She's such a physical comedic
actor.
She's
really funny, yeah.
So funny. And then someone puts their hand up and they think they're bidding, which they've actually just like spilled a drink or something.
But then it's that dude or whatever his name is, Peter.
Who puts a bid on and, you know, that's a lovely nod to it. But I think what's really interesting about, other than that comedic stuff, is the fact that Shay is doing stand-up at the auction.
I was like, oh, no, stand-up. But we don't really see it.
And to be fair, it's not that bad an opening, actually.
The start was pretty good. She's like, you're not using your microphone or whatever. I guess that leads into, like, Charlotte sees that they see them arguing and they're like, oh, we're the same and whatever, you know, which is fine.
Yeah, correct.
I also liked that they didn't meet up and go, we're the same. We're both having arguments, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we got it. And you don't need that scene.
No, and it does move their friendship forward, like what you were saying. And I think the more that you see your friends vulnerable and being themselves.
And screaming at each other.
Yeah, the closer you get to them, you know, the worse they are, the more you feel, okay, good, I'm not a terrible human for being imperfect. So Shay's doing her stand-up bit, which wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, and then Miranda sees her across the room and, like, she's talking to Carrie. It's so rude.
Yeah.
She just stops mid-sentence, sees Shay, ignores Carrie, walks straight towards it like a fly, a moth to a flame.
And Shay does like the same thing though, like later, because she's talking to two people and they're like, we love your comedy and whatever. And she's just like, yep, great. And then just like.
Yeah, leaves.
And bails.
Oh, and I have to say this one thing which kind of annoys me. When I was listening to Michael Patrick King.
Gotcha.
Talk about this writing, and they do this a lot in the series as well, and it bugs me. He calls those two women who are talking to Shay mummies. He's like, oh, the mummies are talking to, you know, and he kind of is very, he says it in a tone, and I don't even think he's aware of this, that he's quite dismissive.
Yeah.
And if you notice in the series, they often do that when there are mums involved. They lump them in this category of people who are slightly dumb and a little bit dowdy.
And shallow
or just even
boring.
A bit
boring.
Yeah, and also a bit sort of giggly, but also a bit like not frumpy, but not really dressed very interestingly.
Yeah.
And clearly, he kind of lumps them together.
That is true. He does. And they'll even do that to characters. They'll introduce and they'll be like, so and so used to go out and party, but now she's got a baby, and it's like, now look at her, she sucks.
Yeah,
this woman
exactly.
Sucks now.
Exactly. And look, and in some ways, some of those scenes that they did were quite revolutionary, like when they go to do a baby shower.
Yeah.
And they're the only four single women there and they're kind of treated awfully. And I can see it from both sides. Like they do talk a lot about that, like the single couple divide thing.
Yeah.
And I get all of that. And I think at the time it was really revolutionary, but it does still really annoy me when they do, when the writers do that, yeah. when they sort of, and it makes you feel like as a mum, you're sort of lumped in as the school mums,
yeah.
you know? And even I think some people do that in passing when we're talking about mums in a way that's sort of slightly derogatory without meaning to be. Like, oh, you're making some mum friends. You know, that kind of vibe, yeah. which is such. So annoying because I don't think we do the same thing for dads in exactly the same way.
Well, you know me, I constantly make fun of dads. That is like my favorite thing. You know what I mean? I'm just
yes,
like,
yes, I know. You love this, to make fun of people.
Look at this guy with these mismatched Dunlop shoes. No, I look like shit, like constantly.
Which is the most ironic thing because you're the biggest dad dude ever, mate.
I look ridiculous. I'm a ridiculous person.
You don't look
person.
Ridiculous. Yeah. You don't look ridiculous. And you've got a sweet, sweet dad bod.
Yeah.
No, you don't have a dad bod. But still, I don't know. Anyway, that's just something I noticed about it. And I so just, the mums are a
I
bit
I love
that,
a dude who's just like, whatever. Like, that's his whole vibe. Just like, I don't want, just whatever. I love it.
I'm broken.
Yeah.
I'm broken. It's the same vibe as the guy looking at his phone with the sunglasses on.
It's exactly the same vibe, just a little bit older. Anyway, Shay's there. They make a beeline for each other. She's like, you never returned my text. And I'm like, obviously not. Do you know how many?
Three months.
She's like famous. She's
and
like,
it's a DM. It's not a text.
Exactly. So I keep saying she, they. I apologize. I think I've done
I
that a bit.
I think we've done that a few times, yeah, actually. Yeah, so. Today, where yes, we should apologize. Actually,
yeah.
No, definitely. Shay's pronoun is they.
Yeah.
To be very clear, and we're very sorry if we've got that wrong throughout the episode.
We're just excited.
We're so excited.
And
to
we're
talk
confused,
about
and
it.
We're old, but we're trying.
We're basically Steve Brady personified. Mm. We're both got to wash our hands before the show.
That's right.
Anyway, so they start talking,
yeah.
And basically say that to Miranda that, oh, I just didn't get it, and yeah. relax and ask for what you want. What I think is really interesting is that you see this kind of triple acting from Cynthia Nixon.
Mm.
She's like Cynthia Nixon acting as Miranda, and Miranda is acting in this kind of way like she doesn't even care, or she sort of does, but she's trying to be aloof, and it's quite funny and awkward and awful and kind of clunky, but clearly does care. I don't know. And it's classic Miranda. You see her do it a lot in the show.
Totally.
In the series.
Like
so,
vulnerable
yeah.
and very uncomfortable with that. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Which I guess as we all are. But anyway, they hook up and
yeah.
it's hot stuff apparently.
Apparently.
That's what they tell us. What do you think when she's like, I think I'm in love with you? How do you think that's going to be received? Because Shay's just like, huh, it's probably the weed talking and
well,
whatever.
Well, interestingly, Shay says this line, which I think harks back to the main theme of the whole shebang,
yep.
like the whole series, not just this series, but the entire Sex and the City thing, which is the most important relationship is the one you have with yourself.
Yeah.
Mm. And so Shay says, you're not in love with me, you're in love with you with me.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sneaky in yeah. a way to deflect. But also what
That's interesting though.
Yeah, I think it's
yeah.
interesting.
And I missed that, yeah.
What I also think is interesting about Shay's character in general is that they are always honest. They're always really
yep.
upfront about who they are, and they always go directly to the issue.
Yeah.
So, you know, they call out Miranda
yeah.
and say, what are you doing? Ask for what you want. This is what I want. Let's
yeah.
go and do it. And I think that that's refreshing and probably really exciting for Miranda.
Just I think even somebody you can bounce off because she's clearly like literally and emotionally, thank you. But, you know, like Steve's not sharp. You're not getting like
no.
literally anything from
no.
that at the moment.
And interestingly, which I wish they could play out in a better way, there's a lot of differences between the intellect of Steve and Miranda.
You know, yes.
Miranda is a lawyer. She's now going back to university again to study again. She's really becoming a whole new person.
And I guess he's more like emotionally, or he was like more emotionally intelligent, but he doesn't seem to have that anymore.
Yeah,
for whatever
right.
reason.
You're
like,
so
well, he's
true.
Not bringing anything to the relationship.
Yeah, that's so
you know?
True, isn't it? Because he was always more emotionally intelligent.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think we talked about this literally last week, but I think it's also a case of Miranda has like grown beyond him, you know, and he has not grown. If anything, he's like defaulted
Progressed.
As a human being.
Yeah, which I think is a shame that they – like I think that's actually
I
a very –
like we keep hitting on this point.
I know, it's because we love Steve, our boy Steve. But I do think what's interesting about this – is that in real life that happens. Yeah. Like people stagnate and they Definitely. Don't grow and change, and that can cause rifts in relationships. Yeah. But I wonder whether they're doing a disservice to the character of Steve because they're not showing him as a real person. Mm. I feel like he's too much of over the top.
We'll have to see. What about this though? Do you think Shay and Miranda are headed for a breakup? Like Miranda's going to, like it feels like Shay might not be in it for the same reasons, or it's not a startling revelation to Shay. It's like every day, you know what I mean? It's like I'm experiencing this thing and I'm having this wonderful time with this person, but like pretty standard stuff. Whereas Miranda, it's like completely life-altering. Shay's done all of this growing already.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be interested to see where they go. Mm. I think that Shay is my prediction. Here we go.
Nostradamus. Hit, pick.
I think that Shay is going to break Miranda's heart.
Yep.
And I think that Shay, you're right, is also going to be revealed as someone who has done all this growing and has done all this changing and is really upfront about who they are. But they also smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah.
And they live that kind of party lifestyle. Mm. And they don't seem to have that kind of commitment vibe in their DNA.
Yeah. And I think you'd agree with this. That's not a bad thing. They're just like, they're different.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I do just think they're different. But I wonder if there is a streak of something else going on there for Shay that will actually make it difficult. You know, when someone is so charismatic and glossy and obviously a celebrity and has comedy and you seem to think that they've got it all together. And then when you scrape the surface, you realize actually there's a person in there who's real and fragile, like we all are, and vulnerable.
Yeah, because you're right. We haven't really seen that as aside from like, I used to be this person and now I'm this person.
Yeah. And everything's fine and I'm great and I'm so happy with my life and myself and everything's wonderful. Mm. And I just never think that that is entirely true. Mm. Like I think that people can obviously have got to a place of growth, but no one like – For example, right, Shay's never seen in any domestic setting.
So no, it's always like a fun thing. And
yeah, Shay exactly. And you see them dressed with like hair done and cool clothes and doing the podcast or up on stage or in a nightclub.
Yeah.
You don't see them brushing their teeth with pajamas on.
Yeah.
Going to bed, which is what you do see with the other characters in the show.
That's true.
Even Seema, you see a vulnerable side to her and there's a chink in her armour, whereas we have not seen the chink in Shay's armour really. And I think that's what's interesting about a new relationship. Yeah. And to Miranda, she's in this phase where Shay's like a superhero and perfect, and that's clearly not sustainable. So that's going to be – I feel like it's going to implode.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Maybe they'll break and then come back around. And often the second time somebody shows up in a show, you know, like this or others, then you see that like emotional, vulnerable side of things. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Kind of like James Remar's character when he comes back and he's all like, you know what I mean? He seems like untouchable and unshakable. And then he is, and he turns out to be awful. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe I think we should see a different side of Shay. Otherwise, it's like, it's a one and done, and then it's like, then after this affair, what else do they do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I really don't see a future for them though where they are going to the farmer's market together.
No, it would look completely different, but I also think that's maybe something that Miranda wants. Anyway, we should move it along.
We should.
To the well, this is one of our longest one yet. So there are, the funniest moment was the intersection where – they're going to hit that couple who have the baby in the pram. And
I have a toddler. I have a toddler.
He's got a toddler. I just thought that was really funny. And also, like, he was right. They nearly hit him with the car. Like, 100% right.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I love the whole thing about that scene. The fact they're in the car, the fact that Miranda sends a text and the Apple thing in the car reads it out in this robotic voice. And that's how Andrea Richard finds out she's not pregnant.
Yeah.
And Dr. Nia Wallace, you know, isn't pregnant. And then because of that, they nearly hit the guys with their kid. But what I just love that guy. And what I love about it is that that line is a real line that happened in the writers' lives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
They, like, wrote it in directly. Very. I have a toddler.
That's really fun.
We've all been that dad, haven't we?
Before we wrap it up, a couple of things. First of all, did you know you can review this this podcast, Claire? You can just do it in-app. You can do it in Spotify. You can do it whatever you're using. We'd really appreciate it. And I saw this tweet earlier this week. It was retweeted by one Rob Delaney, and it came up in my feed from Tim Platt. And Tim Platt says, catching up on old episodes of Shay Diaz's podcast. Her co-host is ruining the vibe by being a prude. Hope that changes, though I can't imagine what could shock this timid co-host into actually doing her job. I need to hear filth like I was promised. Because you know, and then Alan responds to this tweet. Would you believe the repressed co-host used to be New York's most famous sex columnist? And Tim Platt responds, unbelievable. She needs to get with the times. And I don't mean the newspaper if she wants to survive in modern media. Debase yourself or go home. Oh, Samantha speculation. Fuck all this week.
Nothing.
I'm not loving
nothing
this.
Nothing on the ground. Mate, there's only 3 episodes left. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You're living on a dream.
Can I just quickly, before you get to a letter, which I think you have, this is a review from H. Lantern 1 who says, keep the show going. Never had any interest in Sex and the City, but James and Claire beat the odds and have me hooked on hearing them recap a show I don't care about. Would love to hear them keep this going for the original show. We talked about that last week and probably not, but you never know. What have you got, Claire?
You never, never know. All right, so I've had so many emails from people who are very invested. All right, so I wanted to just read this one out. This is a bit of a heavy-hitting one.
Ooh.
This is from Paul Spooner.
Hello, Paul Spooner.
Hi, Claire and James. I love hearing you guys talk. I wanted to discuss Miranda's actions recently.
Ooh.
He's angry.
Sounds like he's not bloody happy about this.
Is she being given a pass for cheating on Steve because she's exploring her sexuality?
Mm-hmm.
Cheating on a partner is wrong morally and there isn't an excuse for it. That was it. That's
I can understand that. That's like that's not inaccurate. And I'm hoping, as we've talked about, that that is going to be explored. Mm. Like there will be some kind of ramification because at the moment it's just like, this is fun and free and whatever, and, you know, which is good, but, yes, there is that side of it where it's like you are literally destroying a relationship, and even though that relationship probably shouldn't be happening, like you owe him, some honesty.
And also I think, exactly right, that they've been through so much together, that those two, they're married, they have a son together. Miranda might not be happy, but there's ways to go about it. You know, that's way more honest. She's not letting Steve know any of this. And she's
if he couldn't comprehend it, which he clearly couldn't at the moment, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see it. It would be bizarre if this was not addressed properly. I think it would be a massive, shortfall.
I hope so, because I feel like they haven't given Steve many lines, maybe because they think he couldn't remember them. I don't know. But
in real life, is he okay? I think he's all right.
I think he's fine. I don't know. Very odd.
He's got great abs still.
Yeah, because I do. Yeah, so I'm hopeful that they're going to do justice to him. And also it would be great and kind of interesting to shock the audience into remembering how special their relationship was. And maybe that's what they're doing.
Maybe there'll be a line where Steve's like, don't you remember how special our relationship was? I don't remember anything. Please push my wheelchair off a cliff. Anyway,
With Haagen-Dazs,
yeah. Anyways, we're going to get out of here. Thank you so much to Collings for editing this. Suggestible is taking a break at the moment, but there is going to be a best of going up soon.
Correct.
Which we really appreciate. It might be this week, it might be next week. It's whenever Collings wants to do it or not do it. But obviously, there's a back catalogue of stuff here and other places if you want to check out. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Claire Tonti on Instagram, which is where I like to be mostly.
If you want to email the show.
You can email suggestiblepod@gmail.com.
Give us your thoughts.
Correct. I also do another podcast called Tonts, which there's a whole lot of interviews I've done. Then a newer season will be coming out in February. But if you want to go check those out.
My understanding is you wrote an article this week. Is that correct?
I did. So I've written two articles on Sex and City because this podcast just isn't enough for me.
I agree.
And one was published by Ramona Magazine, which is excellent.
Your publishing work is your Shea Diaz, and I'm your this podcast is your Steve. You don't get what you need here. You need to go outside of it.
You are right. So I've gone outside again, and this week I wrote a piece for The Latch. .com.au. You can find the link over on my Instagram. But the piece is all about grief and what Sex and the City talks about.
It's really good,
about
and
grief.
You've gotten some feedback from people as well. Like people like messaging and being like, "Hey, that was really cool."
Yeah. So yeah, it's been nice. All right. I don't know why I feel awkward about that.
You should feel awkward. Putting yourself out there is bad, and I never do it. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.